I want to talk to you for a while tonight, just for a while. Do you know you are a Christian? Do you know you are a Christian? Today, almost anything religious seems to qualify as being a Christian in the eyes of nominal religion. Anything from a great event taking place that was unusual, to being baptized, to speaking in tongues, amen, to almost anything that happens abnormal, people take that as a moving of God. Some say, I believe in God and also have a knowledge of God. But with all these things that I mentioned, amen, there is no clear witness in any of them that they are a Christian. There are a lot of churches out in the secular world all saying you do this and you do that and you'll be saved. But we need to get by just plain church philosophy, church requirements, and do what the Bible says. And when we do that, we can know for sure that we are a Christian. I spoke to a funeral audience today, and every time I go in front of a funeral audience anymore, it's hard to, well, I don't want to get too personal in this, too close, but it's difficult. I asked Brother Wilson one time, I said, Brother Wilson, what's the toughest thing to preach? He said, a funeral. And then he went on to explain, and he's exactly right. The funeral director is in a hurry. The people are there because they have to be there. And we was told before we even got into the service to make it short. And I didn't oblige that, but we did it. We did the best we could. I figure that's a time to talk to men and women. Amen. That you get no other time. They don't go to church. Amen. And I always like to bring in salvation in those messages. But most everybody's a Christian today. And if you get too close to people, say you're trying to unchristianize. You can't unchristianize someone when they're really a Christian. Amen. To know something is true is a lot better than hoping something is true. We dare not come before God with a hope-so experience, but rather we need to know that we are saved tonight. Amen. Now, when we pass from this life, it's too late to change if we're wrong. I expressed that today. There's two resurrections mentioned in the fifth chapter of John, spiritual and general resurrection. In one of these resurrections, you have a choice. In the general resurrection, the choice is gone. You come forth. How do you come forth? As you went in. Amen. We need to know for sure we are a Christian tonight. Listen to the expression. This is an expression used by some of the apostles, and especially the apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, we know. Look at how sure that is. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. To Paul, it was going to be a day of joy, amen, when he could leave this human body. He regards amen, the body is primarily is just a tent, a temporary dwelling place in which we sojourn till the day comes when it's dissolved and we enter into the real abode of our souls. Paul said, for we know, then he said in verse number 6, that we're always confident. Always confident. Again, he says in verse number 8, amen, he says the same thing. We are confident. How confident are you tonight that you are a Christian? The Apostle John, he makes a statement. He says this in 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Otherwise, clear of attitudes, clear of unforgiveness, clear of little things that people have against one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. And if you don't love the brethren, you have not passed from death unto life. And look what he says. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Here again are these words the apostles use. We know. Amen. And this expression, we know, dismisses any doubt. Amen. It's a positive statement that needs no clarification, amen, to its meaning. We can also know for sure tonight that we are a Christian. Some say, I believe there is one God. I believe he's all powerful. I believe he's the creator. And that someday we'll stand before him in eternity. But that's not enough. That's head knowledge. Amen. That's no insurance that you are a Christian. Amen. Why is that? Because the devils believe that. James 2:19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, but at the same time, they tremble. The devil believes there's one God. Amen. He believes, amen, but they're not saved. They tremble, but there is no repentance. They believe, but it won't help them get in favor with God. And I know that many people feel that if they just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that they're all right. But the scripture says the devils believe that. God help us to get above what the devils believe. James said, thou doest well to believe there is one God. It's necessary to believe, but it's not enough. You must believe in God, amen, and come to him. Come to him. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible. Otherwise, that simply means it's not possible. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, but let's go on, and that he's rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whenever you come to God for whatever, whether it's for salvation, for healing, or whatever, you must believe that he is. Amen. But James is saying that believing is a good thing, but it's not proof that a person is saved or a Christian. Thou believest, amen. The devils, I say, believe. If believing, amen, alone is not salvation for the devil, then I say it's no proof for you and I. And believing we're Christians. Amen. Having knowledge of God alone, listen to me, just having knowledge of God alone is not proof you are a Christian. It makes no difference how much ones know about God and the Bible, but it's still no sign that you're saved. There's people, amen, that can quote verse after verse. I could quote scriptures from school. I learned in school. That didn't make me a Christian. Amen. A man or a woman may talk about the Bible. They may even quote some scriptures and even talk about the moral depravity and the bad things of the world. They may even tell others about God and how we should turn to God and tell ones what the scriptures mean. But it's still no sign they are a Christian. There are certain things you got to do in the Word of God to be a Christian. Amen. And without doing them, you're not saved. Religious feelings. Rock stars get religious feelings. Amen. They get involved and worked up in some of these groups. And next thing you know, you read in the paper, the headlines, they're born again. They had some religious ecstasy, so to speak. Amen. There have been once testified to speaking in an unknown tongue. And because they felt good at the time, they took that as being a Christian. Movie stars, country singers, nightclub entertainers, who have testified it because some special thing took place in their life, they must be a Christian. Well, somebody said, how do you know they're not? Because of their works. God ever saves a rock star, he's no longer a rock star. Ones do religious works, mistake it for salvation. They partake in the ordinance of baptism and take that as being a Christian. Now we know baptism is definitely an ordinance. It's an ordinance of God's house, but it doesn't save you. It's an answer to a good conscience. Otherwise, it's an answer to somebody that's already saved. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a good conscience, church, can only be gotten through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without salvation, water baptism does one thing. Without salvation, it gets you wet. Then there are people who supposedly spoke in an unknown tongue. Amen. They claim they know they are Christian. And I told you the story a couple times at least, but it goes right here with this message. One night here, when Brother Wilson was pastor, Brother Gerald Miller, I believe it was, brought to us a family from upstate New York. I can't think of the place right now. And they was in town, they happened to visit our service. So I invited them out to the house. And they came out to the house, it was a wife and I think a couple children. We come out and we all in the kitchen, fixed them something to eat, of course, and carried on conversation. Then we went into the living room, amen, and they talked about where they went to church. And of course, we talked about church here. And they brought up that they went to a Christian missionary church, I believe it was, in upstate New York. So we talked about what took place. And then we got on the subject of holiness. That's a good subject to get onto. And we got on the subject of living free from sin and how God can deliver you. Amen. And we brought up the fact that sin, you couldn't get into heaven with sin in your life. And that's when this brother spoke up. He'd listened about long enough and he spoke up. He said, if God wants to take somebody into heaven with sin in their life, that's up to him. My wife spoke up. She said, oh no. What God commands of me, he commands of you. Well, that shut down the conversation. We kept him all night, stayed all night, and gave him my room and everything. And in the morning, he had to depart from New York, and he was in tongues. So he said, let's have a word of prayer. And I said, I agree with you. And I jumped right into it. Amen. I didn't want to get involved in that. But afterward, they did send us a card and thank us for the hospitality. But religion, false religion, amen, is still a Christian, supposedly, and they've got sin in their life. Now listen to me, church. If you're a Christian tonight, you're a changed person. You don't do the things you used to do. Christianity brings a halt to it. Amen. False religion, amen, wraps themselves all up in a cloak of deception. Amen. God, I say tonight, does great wonders. Amen. But the wonders of false religion is, amen, uses deception. Religion is full of good works. But just plain good works is no sign, amen, that one is a Christian. How does one know that they are Christian? How do you know? How do you know you're even saved tonight? Now, we got multiple people here that I have confidence in are definitely saved. But how do you know it? Well, it's not believing by itself. It's not knowledge alone. It's not good works alone. It's not some miracle, outstanding event that took place in your life. It's not church membership. So what is the proof that one is a real Christian? How do I know? Somebody said they go to Church of God. Not enough. It won't work. Lots of people sitting out there. How do you know you're saved? Well, I come to the Church of God. I go to Sunday school. I listen to the message. Testify. Not enough. How do you really know? One way you can know. You have a heart change. A heart change. No one is a Christian unless there's been a change in their heart. And when we speak of the heart, we're not talking about this blood pump. We're talking about the central part of your affections. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's read very familiar scriptures. Ezekiel 36. We'll go to verse number 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you, amen, a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit, amen, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. What's he saying? There has to be a change take place in your life to constitute being a Christian. You're just not the same when you humble yourself before God. One must have a new heart, a new spirit. And God's spirit is what Ezekiel said. The change is so distinct Amen. That those who are around you and those who know you will see it. This is something you can see. You don't, amen, get saved and remain the same. Amen. You don't frequent the same places. You don't hang with the same old friends. Amen. The change is distinct. I told you what happened when I got saved. I didn't hardly know anything. Got saved, come home, sat on the couch. Roxanne says, what's the matter with you? I don't know. Where you been? Church? Church. Where'd you go to church at? Down in 6th and Locust Street? Prayer meeting? She said, what happened to you? I said, I don't know. Something happened to me. Amen. I said, I was told I got saved. And there was a change take place. Amen. You cannot be saved without, amen, doing what the Bible says. You can't get saved on your own route. You can't get saved, amen, by your own, amen, mind or your own plans that you have lined up. You can't get saved by just saying, I'm just going to start going to church. I'm just going to do different. People do that every first of the year. There has to be a change take place. Amen. Now, there are ones today who feel since they started going to church and maybe joined that church that they're all right. But there's no change in them. They still smoke their cigarettes. They still have their little social drinks. Amen. They still cuss. They still do these other things. But yet, some preachers made them feel like they're okay. Why? Because they come to church. No doubt put some money in the offering. Amen. But joining the church has no more assurance of putting a soul in heaven than the Moose Lodge does. Sometimes the Moose Lodge has better standards than some sectarian church. When ones have a heart change, something happens. Do you remember when you got saved? Didn't something happen to you when you really got saved? Oh my, I remember it. I don't have the hour down. I don't have the day down. Amen. All I can do is come up with a year. But I know something happened. I know something changed. One thing, I wanted to read the Bible. Another thing is I wanted to come back to church that night. And I wanted to keep on coming to church. And I wanted to know every single doctrine he preached. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to study those scriptures he'd bring out. I wanted to know just where did he get those doctrines from? I want to know all these doctrines. Amen. And there was just something different. Amen. And when I come out of Rockwell International, the car was like it had super power steering. Just little turn and she went towards Heath, Dorsey Mill Road. Before, I used to have to fight that thing. Had power steering then, but it wind up going to the right. But now it was easy. Just like dialing the phone. Amen. Change take place. My clothes no longer smell like a billy goat. My car got cleaned up. Amen. The house started smelling halfway decent. Amen. Why? A change took place. Paul did his best to describe it. And I don't know of any better description in the Bible. When he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or that simply means new creation. Old things or the old life is passed away. behold, or stop and think about it. All things are become new. Amen. The whole being of an individual changes. It affects your soul, your spirit, and even your body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Listen to what Paul writes. Do you know that your body houses something more valuable? Amen. I know it houses your soul, but there's something else that you house in that body. You know it's a temple? Do you know what a temple is? It's a dwelling place of God. Listen to what he says. What? Know you not that your body is the temple? I believe that means dwelling place. Place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Why? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Don't light those cigarettes up. Glorify God in your body. In your spirit, don't show any more of those nasty attitudes, which are God's. We become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, we do know this. We do know that the Holy Ghost will not live in a temple that's unclean. There's no doubt. Shouldn't be any doubt in anybody's mind over that. Because we know it was sin that Jesus died for, and it was sin, amen, that caused him to be put to death. Now, there's only one way that a man or woman may receive a new heart. How is that? They must be born again. They need a new birth. The words of Jesus stand out. And I brought it up today. Nowhere can you find in the scriptures where a man must join a church. I could be corrected if you can bring it to me. Because if you can join a church, you've got thousands of them to join. You've got quite a choice out there. But when you're born again, God puts you in a church. You don't have to worry about joining the church. He puts you in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, there has to be a change take place on the inside of an individual. Not just conformity to the outside, but the inside has to be changed first. Listen to this new covenant, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, he talks about a new covenant. Jeremiah 31, and you can remember it easy, it's 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant, agreement, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant or agreement that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts. Write it in their hearts. Be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Now, the prophet is just simply saying that God is going to make a new agreement or a new covenant, amen, with the house of Israel. And Church of God, we are the house of Israel. Amen. Under this covenant, the Lord was going to put his law in our inward parts. Amen. What's that tell us? The whole man was going to be holy. And the whole man was going to be obedient, not just a law of fleshly ordinances, but a law that changes the inside as well as the outside. All within, amen, and all without shall be holy. There will be universal light. There will be universal knowledge. Amen. They will be saved from the least to the greatest. Amen. It was going to affect all classes of people. It would take in the Samaritan. It would take in the Jew. It would take in the Gentile. And it would take in every individual who wants to know the Lord. Sin was going to be forgiven. And a holy walk was going to be required. Ones will serve God. Why? Because not because they have to, because they delight to serve God. Amen. Amen. The psalmist said, Psalm 48, I delight, he said, to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within where? My heart. The change has got to be on the inside. And that's why false religion fights the message of holiness. They've never had that change that comes about on the inside. When God's on the inside, then we have power to overcome the enemy of our souls. When God is on the inside, don't tell me he can't handle you. You know when people say you have to sin? Do you know what they're really telling you? That you and the devil are stronger than God. That's what they're telling you. You sin more or less every day, and they'll tell you, well, there's not a man that don't. You got to do it. Well, if you got to do it, then you've got more power than God's got. And you've got, amen, the devil also is powerful. But we know that's not true. We do know that God can keep you if you want to be kept. Amen. The change on the inside. Now, how do you know that you're a Christian tonight? We sang some songs together. We rejoiced tonight. How do you know? Everyone sitting out there in those seats and right here. How do we know that we're a Christian? You know it because you've got a changed heart. Amen. Amen. Not had a changed heart, but have a changed heart. It's still changed yet today. Amen. There are too many looking back to when they wonderfully saved instead of rejoicing in the fact they're still the same today. The same God who wonderfully saved you can also wonderfully keep you. And I ask you this. Has your old life passed away and all things become new? When the change takes place, where you work, they'll know it. Josh has testified to me. The change has taken place. Stacy as well. A change took place. They didn't just get religion. Why, you meet people with religion every day, but you see very few that's actually been changed. Amen. Ones you shop with will know it. Ones you associate with. Amen. When I got saved, they definitely knew it. One thing, I was a big mouth. I was a union steward, and I didn't last too long on that afterwards I got saved, but I certainly would advertise Jesus Christ. And of course, that set them in disarray against me. And you know, I'll tell you a little something that happened to me. You know you reap what you sow, don't you? You know that, don't you? Well, when I was a union steward, I was a pretty rough hombre. And if a foreman got on a man out there, that man would come to me. We do what we call cut their throats. Not literally speaking, but less production off the machine. Stay on the machine and produce less. And we'd put the pressure on the foreman because the next day, the general foreman would come in, he'd get on that foreman and want to know why they didn't get any parts off that machine. And so it was called retaliation revenge. Well, I became a foreman, and you know what's going to happen. I went in there one night, and they was upset with me. And oh boy, I knew I was going to get it, and I did get it. The only difference was I knew how to fix the machines because I used to do it myself. But my, how I reaped what I sowed. Amen. And then it seemed like, you know, the next day the general foreman, he'd speak to me and he'd say, "What's the production off these machines?" I'd say, "Well, they was there all night." He said, "Yeah, what do you mean good to be there all night if you don't produce nothing?" And of course, he'd get on me. Amen. And so they had their revenge. But you reap some things. But thank God that reaping left. Now, when you are changed, you're easier to get along with. You're easily entreated. Amen. I won't get too many amens on that, but you will be. You're easier to get along with. Amen. You don't throw your grumpy fits. You don't throw the hammer. You don't kick the dog. You don't take the cat by the tail and flip him through the air. You've been changed. Been changed. The fighting spirit will be kept under. The severe temper will be kept under. Not in your own strength. You doing the best you could before you got saved. The deeds of the flesh will be mortified, like the scripture says, or killed. And I'm afraid that many today have never really experienced that new birth. Oh, they might have even went to an altar. But when you come to an altar, somebody said, "Why? Why do you go up to an altar?" So you can acknowledge it right in front of everybody that you want to serve God. And you acknowledge it. You're not ashamed. You're not ashamed to bow before everybody right here in the congregation. You're not ashamed to bow before others. If you're ashamed of God, then God will be ashamed of you. It's amazing. Simply amazing. What all God could do for a people if they would turn their lives over to Him completely. I ask you, and I'm going to close with this question. Have you had a heart change? And is it still changed tonight? But I'm going to throw one more question in there. Do you want a heart change? Because if you do, you can have it. When can you have it? Right now. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, and we're going to give you opportunity to be saved tonight. Somebody said, "I don't want to be saved tonight." Well, you got that prerogative. You don't have to be. But if you want to be saved tonight, the good news is you can be. You can be. We're going to stand. Let us stand. We're going to sing a verse or two of invitation. And we're going to give you opportunity. opportunity to do what? Walk right down that aisle. Get right down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. And tell the Lord that if He'll forgive you, you'll live for Him all the days of your life. And you'll be amazed what all God will do for you in your life.